Just Love on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Just Love with your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York.
Welcome to Just Love. This week, I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, the host of Just Love. I'm here with Tom Dobbins, and we are in the Advent season now. And it is one of my favorite seasons of the year, Season of Hope. Last week, we spoke with Liz Kelly, who is writing a book on hope. And she can kind of lay out for us a little bit of what hope is. And I learned a lot from it. It's not optimism. It is kind of, trusting the direction that God is taking us in our lives. I certainly didn't do justice to hope, but that kind of is a little bit how I'm trying to get my hands around hope. Tom shared with us that for Advent, he likes Advent because he likes one of his favorite hymns, O Come, Emmanuel. So I'm not going to do it this week, but what I'd like to give a little homework to our listeners, and Tom, to you too.
Okay.
There are, 7 verses, I believe, to O Come, Emmanuel. And if you look at the verses and you look at the titles, because each of the verse is a title for Jesus, the coming Messiah, okay? A different title. And if you look at those titles in Latin and you look at them backwards, they spell something.
In Latin.
So okay. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll hold off till one of our next shows. But it is very, very interesting. What you also have to do is they get prayed at a particular time during Advent.
Okay.
They don't get prayed during all of Advent. Now, the hymn... We can sing whenever we want to sing the hymn. But those verses are what's called antiphons. So a little bit of kind of refrains or little hymns. But they're done in a particular time during the Advent season. Now, that's a little bit of a tease to do a little bit of research to look at the titles of the... O Come Emmanuel, and then figure out what those titles spell that are very, very appropriate for the Advent season, especially when we pray them. So that's a little bit of a tease, of tease, and we'll go into it a little bit more. Tom, one of the things you have a job to do is we'll have to go through at one point all the verses of the Advent season, so that we can, figure out what they are.
It's kind of like an Indiana Jones thing, Monsignor. That's cool.
Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, like Indiana Jones is always very famous. He was that, he discovered the lost ark and he found the Holy Grail. So it sounds like, but he was always looking for clues in religious iconography. So that's kind of cool.
I think that's true. I think that's true. So, it is, there are clues that are there for it. And I think that's good. So anyway, so you know what we'll do this week? We'll give them a little bit of a tease. Do you know the First verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, we'll
Good.
come to thee, O Israel.
Good. Great. Okay. So that's the first verse. So you got that right.
Okay.
So anyway, why don't we go to our first guest? Our first guest is Professor Henry Schwalmbach, Professor of Economics at Fordham University, Director of the International Political Economy and Development Program there. He's the editor of Fordham University, Pope Francis Global Project Report. Professor Schwalmbach, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love.
Oh, happy to be here. Wonderful.
Good. How do you have time? You got all these different things. You're a professor of economics. You're kind of the director of this international political economy. You do a lot of stuff. You you edit the Global Poverty Report. Boy, oh boy, did you have time to celebrate Thanksgiving a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I got to get a couple of recommendations written over the Thanksgiving weekend. So I'll get them all done. They're due that Monday. So
okay. You know what? So I got a suggestion.
Yeah.
Good student, let the kid in to wherever he wants to go.
That's right. I like
Sign, Professor Schwalmbach.
Sure, thank you.
So what have you been up to?
Well, this week we're having a fun thing we're doing with the Vatican. With Pope Leo, he's trying to bring together some people to kind of reflect on the problem of global poverty.
Okay,
we want to publish some articles in the. My Italian is very bad, but La Versatore Romano, and then probably have a little conference in Rome about it. So we're trying to put that together right now.
When's it going to be?
February, I think. I know my article has to be in by January 31, and okay. They want to publish it sometime in mid-February, and then I'm not sure when this conference will happen.
Great. So what's your article going to be on?
Well, I'm still thinking about it. I'm thinking it's going to be about cooperation, about countries helping poorer countries.
Okay.
There's been kind of a turning away from that, and maybe that's something we need to advocate for these days.
All right. I mean, now Tom will tell you, because every once a month, we kind of do a little tutorial with our listeners in which he does the 6 or 7 kind of pillars of Catholic social thought.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Tom has instructed me very well. So basically, what you're talking about is solidarity.
Oh, yeah. That's solidarity.
Yeah.
just at an international level.
So, yeah. So let me ask you, Henry. I mean, we do know that the current administration in the United States has very much kind of moved a foreign policy away from that. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking a position whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. All I'm saying is an accurate analysis of what's going on is that. But you seem to drop a little bit of a hint that it's not merely the United States that's kind of my words, okay?
Yeah.
Being a little bit more selfish and not quite as generous. Is it a global phenomenon?
I believe so, because, the two major sources are the United States, primarily, number one.
Yeah, right.
And then the second would be the Europeans. I guess the Europeans have an excuse that they have to deal with Ukraine. But we're finding, who's stepping up a little bit are the Germans.
Okay.
The Germans, but, they're going to get hit with the Ukraine thing. So we'll see how far they can come.
Right. Right. So let me ask you this, because I don't know the answer to this, because we do tend to think about the West, Western Europe, things like that. What's the sense of Asia in terms of solidarity and that type of stuff? Let me give you a little bit of a lead. My understanding of things is that China does some very heavy investing in a lot of places, but it's got a lot of strings. It's not a lot of altruism in some of that investing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what's the sense of Asia and kind of international solidarity and philanthropy?
Well, I would say you got two countries, Japan and China, that are involved here. I would say the Japanese are more on our model, but they probably have a little bit more of a focus on Asia than, say, Africa. The Chinese are certainly heavily involved, usually with infrastructure investment, roads, and so on. So I remember going in West Africa along a very rural area. And the Chinese were there building the road and the bridges. So, and we were going to a feeding station that was more funded by the US. So we were more into social health programs, food primarily, education, and they were more into infrastructure. And we were given grants, and they were, you had to pay it back. And in some ways, the current administration is copying the Chinese approach. How can we use aid for our own commercial benefit? For our own political benefit, rather than who needs it the most and how can we help kind of thing.
We're speaking with Professor Henry Swallenberg, who is a professor of economics and everything else at Fordham University. And we're speaking a little bit about international issues. So tell me now, bring me a little bit up to date on the Fordham Francis Global Poverty Report. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we put it out every year, and we just put it out again on a couple of weeks ago in November to commemorate the World Day of the Poor. What we found is that we have, well, we were making some progress, and then COVID hit, and things backslided, as I'm sure is true everywhere in the world. There was a recovery, but only a partial recovery, so we didn't get back to where we were, and for the last 2 years, we've been stagnating. So we're kind of stuck in a rut right now.
So how does, I mean, has there been any progress made with, I think, the UN's millennial goals? They must relate to that in some
Oh
way.
yeah, they correlate some of them. I would say in some areas we still, even with the COVID, we were making st we're still making progress. So for access to water seems to be every year a little bit better. Literacy rates go up every year a little bit more. So we're making some progress, but we still have problems.
Henry, does my memory serve me correct that we were even making some progress in certain African countries in arable land and in food production, and then there was a backslide?
Well, over, historically, if you go over the long run, we've made tremendous progress in food security around the world, everywhere, since the end of World War II. But recently, it has slowed down, and we've not been making progress in food for a few years now. Even before COVID, it started to slow down, and mainly due to conflict, and I guess the change in climate. And land becoming more arid. So those two things have been, but I think I put the blame mainly on conflict. You know, when you have a crisis and people are, violence is all over the place, you just can't get in there and help.
So, correct me or fill in the blanks on this. Wasn't there an issue of kind of hunger and world food shortages based upon the Ukraine war because of how much of a breadbasket Ukraine was?
Sure, and a lot of that food went to Africa. And so it had to come out of the Black Sea into the Mediterranean to North Africa and then get shipped out through the Suez Canal and further on. And so when that was blocked, that, you know, Ukraine, that part of the world is a major food basket. So, but I think the Ukrainians have been very good at restoring that and pushing back the Russian fleet. So that has not been as big a problem as it used to be. But it was a problem. Logistics is a problem and can be. But I think it's more conflict that's causing the problem
So,
now.
make me a little smarter in our listeners. When you look at the, the Pope Francis poverty report, what are, I mean, we've talked about food. What are some of the key areas that you look at to see how the world's doing? I get food. You
Sure.
mentioned portable water. What are
Yeah.
some of the other
Sure.
variables that
Well,
you look at?
following the lead of Pope Francis, who I guess is following the lead of all our Catholic theologians and
Right.
philosophers, and it's really based on what we think a human person is. So we think their physical needs, so that's where the food and water comes from. We think they are social creatures. We need other people, and that's where we try to support family and communities. That's where our measures of housing and employment come from. But then what's kind of unique with Pope Francis, or with Catholic social thinking, starting with Paul VI and Jacques Maritain, to name some people, is this concern about the spiritual life or the moral dimension of a person. And that's where we then put this emphasis on education and why we track literacy rates. And then came this thing about, spiritual freedom is the word Francis used. So we are concerned about civil liberties, and we've been tracking gender issues about, oh, missing women and why women have a shorter lifespan, or shorter than what they should have compared to what men have in many parts of the world. And then the last thing dealt with religious freedom. So you'll get most measures of poverty. Try not Don't deal with those spiritual dimensions of life, or the moral dimensions of life. They kind of leave it to the physical, material, and that's it. Well, we try to do a little bit more that way.
So tell me about that. Tell me about religious freedom being a rising issue for the poor.
Well, the metaphor I use is the civil rights movement. In a sense, folks needed civil rights to be free so they could take care of their families, do what is good. But they also needed the inspiration to do that kind of work. Many of those guys got in prison, put in jail for protesting and so on. And so there was a spiritual dimension that Dr. King and his other, and that to be true to that nonviolent dimension of their work. How can you do that without a spiritual foundation? And so that's what we're at least trying to get when we try to measure religious freedom. And of course, some countries just don't want competition at that level. They want to control that and not allow civil society to blossom. And I think we need civil society in order for the poor to take matters into their own hand and make their lives a little bit better.
So, Henry, let me kind of ask you a question about my and let's talk about this a little bit. So, if I'm thinking about religious freedom and the poor, I guess what I'm thinking is saying, well, wait a minute. If you're poor, do you have less likelihood to have religious freedom than if you're not poor? Is that kind of what you say, or is it a little bit
Oh, it's a
different
little
what you're
more. I
saying?
guess it doesn't break down so easily like that. For
Okay.
example, in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, I'm talking about, we have a lot of material poverty, but the spiritual poverty with religious freedom restrictions seem to be very low.
Right.
But in Asia, where a large portion of the human race lives, the material situation is a bit better than in sub-Saharan Africa. But the little religious freedom dimensions, or the civil liberties, are much more restrained than you have in Africa. So it's not like someone in one place has to deal with all of it, and they seem to be spread out a little bit.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what Pope Leo's called everybody to do and what's the conference coming up. Talk to our listeners a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm pretty excited about him because I think he's going to continue this legacy of focusing on the people on the margins. So the conference is called, well, let me make sure I got it right. Let Us Not Forget the Poor. So at this point, they're just collecting. They sent out, I don't know to how many people and to who, but questionnaire trying to figure out what is the situation, how can we, what are the, what's holding back efforts on the world scale to deal with the problem of poverty. And then we saw his statement. What was it? My Latin is very bad. Help me out with it. Well, it ends with a K.
Dilexi T.
Yes, we saw
Dilexi
that. And that kind of paralleled with his statement on the World Day of the Poor, which
Right.
he issued way back in June, even though the day was in November. And so I think we have this continuation of trying to look at this. And I guess sooner or later, he's going to, well, he's eventually going to travel to the UN. And I think when he eventually comes to the UN, that's when he's going to kind of address this in a very public manner.
So what are you betting? Is he coming next year, 2 years? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm since he's trying to, since they're, well, his associates are trying to put together a conference this year to kind of just talk about these issues. That sounds like they're in the they're thinking about something soon. But I
Okay,
don't
okay.
know if it's this year or next year, or it's just a process that they're going through we're a synodal church now, so we everyone has to talk about things, and then we try to wrap it all up.
Yeah, if anybody could tell me what the word synodal means, I'd be really intrigued by that. But
Well, I think it just
here's
means a lot of talking.
right. So okay, I'm not betting on the year,
Okay.
but I'm betting he's going to come in September or October.
Oh, yeah, he'll be here in September when the UN General Assembly meets.
Right.
And it may
Yep.
be this September or the next September.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll go out to 3 years. So that's too
Right.
long to take. So either
All right. So
this
we'll
one
do
might be too quick to get here this September. So it might be the next one. Or who
that.
knows?
Tom, what are you betting? When do you think?
I'd say he's going to come, as you said, not this September. I think it's too soon. Next, but I think you're right. Next September for the General Assembly. Yep, that's what I think.
All right. So what do you think, Henry?
Well, that sounds good. I was leaning towards this September since they're organizing this conference, but it's just one conference, and they probably want to get even more input as time goes on. So Tom could be correct, and I could be wrong.
All right.
But he's
So
coming. That I'm pretty sure of.
my question is though, is he going to make a stop at a Cubs game in Chicago when he comes?
Oh, he's got to do something with Chicago,
Right. So Henry, the institute that you're the director of, what's on its agenda? Is there any stuff you're focusing on there?
Yeah, our agenda is what we try to do. Well, one of the things we try to do is support the Catholic community in their efforts to reach out to the poorer parts of the world. And we
Right.
do that primarily through training people to work with Catholic relief services.
Ah.
But we're going through a bit of a crisis now in that area because, their funding is down by 40, 50%
Right.
because of all the cuts in the budget.
Yep.
Now some of the budgets is going through. Some food stuff is going through. Some health things are going through. And I'm sure it's like you guys in Catholic Charities have pivoted to other funding sources, whether it's the German government, they're doing that. They're doing philanthropies. These Catholic families with foundations are stepping up. So in some sense, we're much stronger than some other places because we have Catholic families and Catholic community that back it up. So if the government's not there, you still have the religious community there. But we're hurting.
Yeah. Henry, let me just say something for our listeners. What you said is true, but I do think our listeners should be very, very aware that given the ability of government to tax and to generate billions of dollars of revenue, when they cut back, there is no way that private philanthropy can replace dollar to dollar what
Oh.
the government cuts back. And I think, sometimes people think that. Now, yes, Philanthropy can do some things. That's good. But you know, as I think Cardinal Dolan often quotes Ronald Reagan, I think, in saying, well, our charities are so dependent upon government money, you know, they shouldn't be engaged. And he always says, well, wait a minute, it's not government's money, it's our money. It's our people's money that is given to government to do good. So why shouldn't we accept our people's money, even if it's through the conduit of government, which I think is a very good perspective on.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The cuts, the way I summarize it, is the Catholic organizations that are trying to help the poor around the world are being seriously damaged by this, but they will keep on going. But they won't be able to do what they used to be able to do.
Yep. And I, you know, again, I don't want to pretend that a lot of people in need are not going to get the resources and the help they need because, but that's absolutely the case. One of the things, though, it forces us to maybe be a little bit more strategic, a little bit more thoughtful about what do we really want to do and how do we do it and how do we focus on it. So, you know, it hurts the people who need the help, but we
Well,
should
you know,
also.
in a certain sense, we're not going to help because we don't have enough.
Right. So, Professor Henry Schwalenbach, good luck on your article.
Oh, thank you.
I think you got a good topic there on good luck on the conference in February. I'm going to bet next September the Pope's coming.
Texas. All right,
Yeah.
I'm leaning that way.
All right, I'm being that. Tom is, you know, slow and steady. He wants to give the Pope a little bit of time to settle in and he'll come there. But again, part of my thing is, you know, I'm much older than Tom. I want to make sure I'm around when he comes. So that's why I don't want to push this out too much. Hey,
Sure.
Professor Henry Schwalenbach, Professor of Economics and a lot of other things at Fordham University. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love.
Anytime. Happy to
Great.
do it.
Good. Just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. This is our weekly conversation about what's going on in the world through the perspective of our Catholic social values. We'll be back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Now let's get back to Just Love and your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and more compassionate. Tom, I think we may have to ask a little bit of forgiveness from the liturgists because, you know, they don't want us to talk a lot about Christmas during Advent. They want us to focus on Advent. And we've had this discussion before. I don't see how you cannot talk about Christmas when you're thinking about Advent. And especially from the perspective of Catholic Charities, because if we're going to do what we need to do to reach out and to help families in at Christmas time, we got to do it in Advent. I mean, you can't wait to Christmas Eve. I mean, you know, Tom, I don't know about you, but I still believe in Santa Claus. And so,
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Santa Claus, he can't come down every single chimney the same night. So we gotta give him a hand.
Gotta help him out.
Gotta
Exactly.
help out. I think, you know, it's a different version of solidarity,
That's right.
but you know, we gotta partner with or synodality. Maybe it's both.
Ah, there you go. The
Synodality and
Synodality part.
solidarity is, I gotta say, synodality, solidarity, Santa's help us.
There you
How
go.
about that? I think that's what,
I like the
okay.
alliteration, the three S's.
Yeah, I think it may not make any sense, but I like the alliteration. So, Tom, thank you for rounding up two really good guests, Will Rodniak and Kate McGowan. I am delighted that they are with us on Just Love today. Will Rodniak is the volunteer vice chair of Catholic Charities Junior Board here in New York. Kate McGowan is the executive director and senior director of development of the Al Smith Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation, and I am delighted that both of them are here to talk about one of the really, really kind of special programs of Catholic Charities at Christmas time. Kate and Will, thanks for taking the time to be with us. So let me begin. Will, can I begin with you? Tell us about what Shopping Day is. We've done this now for many, many years. Maybe our listeners know a little bit about it, but what is our Shopping Day, our St. Nicholas Shopping Day, which takes place this weekend, December 6th? What's it about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Shopping Day event is, you know, I would say one of the Junior Board's and Catholic Charities' major volunteer events of the year that corrals, you know, probably upwards of hundreds of volunteers to support shopping efforts for the St. Nicholas Project. And so the volunteers will come into a couple of Old Navies across the city, across Manhattan, and they'll be given a case or maybe a couple cases of a particular vulnerable family in New York City that's in need of some help for winter clothing or other winter essentials. And they'll be given a certain budget, and they'll be, you know, they'll get the case and they'll go on to the store and try and get the best deals that they can. And
hey, Will, let me interrupt you for just a second. When you say they're given a case, is it a case of beer or what?
Good point. No, not a case of
What's
beer.
What's a case?
A case is would be a family, right, or a household, I guess, more descriptive. A household of a family that works closely with the St. Nicholas Project or other agencies of Catholic Charities of New York. And so they're the ones that are kind of being shopped for. Okay. The cases on the papers will have, you know, identify a 3-year-old girl and a 2-year-old son and a mom and a dad who are in their mid-30s. And then the shoppers and the volunteers will, you know, kind of do their best to shop as best as they can for them. And then they will go to the checkout and all of it will already be paid for. And this year's event, you know, all of the proceeds, all the funds are coming from the Junior Board's Christmas in July party that happened back in July, where we raised $65,000 for this event.
Great, great. Now, Will, have you yourself shopped?
I have, yes. I've been fortunate enough to both shop and both kind of be an event coordinator, event leader, and at a site. And I've done it I've been around for it for the past 3 years, 3 years or so, and it's an incredible morning.
So, Will, do you remember the demographics of the family profile that you shop for?
Off the top of my head, no. But okay. I do, for me exactly, no. But okay. I do, you know, recall, you know, from looking, helping with other people, you know, many times it could be migrant families or it could be families that are, you know, mom or dad, something kind of rough happened with work and they needed assistance with certain things because they don't have a job right now and they just needed a little bit of a backup for help. But also, you know, I think those two could be, you know, two ends and a lot of other cases, other examples fall in between.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So, Kate, you participate, but in a different part of the kind of program. You kind of are a participant in Adopt a Family. Tell us a little bit about what that is and how it's a little bit different, but related to the St. Nicholas Shopping Day.
Yes. So I adopted two families this year. And so the Catholic Charities team sent me two profiles for the families, and they both happen to be single moms with one has a newborn and the other one has a baby on the way. And then there's another family member in the mix as well. And so I have the profile, which is also, I sort of refer to it almost like a shopping list too. And so it gives me the information on all the items that the family is interested or needs at the moment. And Basically, I go off on my own and shop for the families. And so what I've done the past few years now is years and years ago, when I was doing the volunteer shopping at Kmart, before it was at Old Navy, I would bring my parents and my sister and my little niece with me to help shop for families. And now, over the Thanksgiving holiday, we're all together again. And so we're going to actually head over to the shopping center tomorrow or Friday and do the shopping together, which is also a great way to have my niece and nephews understand what it is to help another family that doesn't have all the items that they may want this Christmas season. And so I think it's a really nice way to get families involved and show different generations what it means to give back to the community and understand that, there's a lot of different types of families out there and they all want the same things at Christmas time.
How old's your niece?
Well, now she's 20.
Okay, and she still likes to go shopping.
Yeah.
That is that. Do you remember? So you talked a little bit about the family. You've done this before, right?
Quite a few times, yeah.
Yeah. So do you remember any particular item that you were particularly happy that you could buy and identify for somebody on your list?
It's usually something that might actually be off the list if I'm doing the shopping myself.
Right.
You're a little bit more tied to the actual items requested when you're doing the volunteering because it's not
Right.
your money. You're working with the
Right.
fund's money. But reading the profiles, sometimes, there's a nice blurb that each family and their caseworker come up with together. And so sometimes you get a little bit of information about the family that gives you a little bit more than what is on the list of items needed below. And so you can kind of use that to then say, oh, well, this mother is about to have a baby. Maybe there's something else that I can put in the bag that is not on this list, but would be a nice unexpected gift for the two of them. And so it's little things like that. And it's not about really the cost of it because it can be something that's not really too expensive, or maybe,
Right.
you throw in a little gift card or something, but it's more about trying to relate to the families and what they really need than separating yourself from it.
So I will confess that I have gone to many, many of the shopping days. I haven't actually shopped for a family because usually I'm doing some other things that are there, but I do eavesdrop and I do kind of walk next to people who are shopping. And my favorite kind of experience is when you have a family at shopping day, and maybe you have a child who is 8 or 9 or 10, something like that, shopping with their mother. And they'll say, oh, we have to get a sweater for this baby. And they'll be arguing back and forth. Like, no, I think she wants a yellow one. No, a green one. This one's pretty. I like, they really kind of get into what it is that they're buying, and they're trying to kind of figure out what it is that's going to make that family happy. And I think that is, listen, there's a lot of ways that there's a lot of need in the world, a lot of ways to help and whatever. But the fact that this project, whether it be the shopping day or the adoptive family, you're looking at real people. It's kind of a pro, it's not, oh, we need to buy 5 coats. It's not that we need to buy 7 sweaters. No, this is for kind of a 30-year-old mom who maybe is a little bit overweight. Maybe she needs a little bit of a bigger jacket than something. And it seems to me that's so much part of our Christian identity that we deal with every individual made in God's image and likeness. So, anyway, but listen, let me just also for our listeners, in addition to the adoptive family that Kate's doing, Kate is the executive director of the Alfred E. Smith Foundation, which does so much good for so many people. So, Kate, thank you for your work with the Alfred E. Smith Foundation also. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
But Will, I got to ask you, okay, this isn't this, but what's the dog tag bakery about where you did an internship many years ago? What's that about?
Wow, that really hits home. Wasn't expecting that. Dog Tag Bakery it's a nonprofit bakery that also supports disabled veterans that are readjusting to everyday life, civilian
Okay.
life, either the veterans or their spouses. It was founded by a late Jesuit by the name of Father Curry, Rick Curry, who at the time was at Georgetown, and he was actually born without born. His right arm was only down to his elbow, and that's all he was
Okay.
born with. And he was a Jesuit brother for many years, and he, eventually became a priest, and he founded this organization. And so every 3 times a year, I believe, the bakery will take in a cohort of disabled veterans or spouses. During the mornings, they will receive classes from Georgetown University professors. And then in the evening, they will work on different parts of the bakery, whether it's working in the kitchens, working in marketing, working in fundraising. So it all kind of blends in together to teach them how to kind of assimilate and run a business, organize a business, organize a nonprofit business to help them gain the skills that they need to in the real world, which they might not be as familiar with it.
Great, great, wonderful. Thanks for sharing. Hey, Kate, let me give you an opportunity. I know the Alfred E. Smith Foundation does so much good work. You want to share with our listeners just a minute or two on the good work that the foundation does?
Sure. So the foundation is known for its annual dinner that happens every October. It's the third Thursday of October each year. And we returned to the Waldorf this past October for the first time in, I think, since 2016. The dinner is primarily known for on presidential election years, hosting the two presidential candidates. And so they're typically our speakers. And then on off years, we have a keynote speaker and a happy warrior. Alfred E. Smith was a governor of New York, basically a century ago. And so we follow in his footsteps, and he was called the happy warrior by many, advocating for women and children in need. And so all of the funds raised from the dinner each year, we give back through grants to the local community, which we consider the region that the Archdiocese of New York is in. And so we offer grants of various amounts to organizations that help women and children, whether it be family services, health care, or education. And so Catholic Charities is actually a recipient, and Inner City Scholarship Fund. Those are our two largest recipients within the Archdiocese. And other organizations that we help are God's Love We Deliver. We have a great partnership with Elizabeth Seton Center in the White Plains area. And we just started working with an organization called Chances for Children. And there's usually about 25 to 30 organizations on the list. And so we actually just partnered with Refugee Services, the Jesuit Refugee Services, on a project as well. And so, yeah, so usually we we try to give as much money away each year as we can. Right now, it's usually about somewhere in the range of 5 to 7 million. We've been really lucky with the dinner in the past few years, raising a lot of funds for us and
Well,
we
Kate,
pinch
let
our
me interrupt.
pennies.
You've been lucky, but a lot of the hard work that you've done is what has made it successful. So thank you. Thank you for that. So listen, thank both of you, Kate, for you and your family. You have a lot of courage if you go shopping on Black Friday. That's a lot of courage to do that. Will, thank you not only for the shopping that you've done, but organizing it so that a lot of other volunteers can do that. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love. Tom, I think we'll take a break. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. We'll be back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Just do it. Just love. Just check out Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, who's here right now. Take it away, Monsignor.
Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. We talk about what's going on in the world. We are in the middle of the Advent season. And Tom, since we're in the middle of the Advent season, I'm going to give you another test. Okay.
No.
Okay. Can you do another verse of O
Oh,
Come, O Come, Emmanuel? Now, I'll give you a little bit of a hint, okay? A little bit of a hint. Sometimes it get translates different. So I'll give you a little bit of a leeway that you don't have to get the words exactly right, but you did good on the first verse.
I did. The second one, I know there's something about Daystar. There's something about Daystar, but I don't know. I can't sing
Okay.
it through Monsignor, but I think one of the terms they use to refer to Jesus is Daystar
Or day spring.
or Dayspring. No, I was like, okay, all right, very good. So I
Okay.
kind of got one. I kind of got one.
All right. And that is translated, the Latin of that is Oriens.
Orients. Okay.
Now,
Oh.
why? Why?
Is it because, and I could be going out on a limb here, Monsignor. I'm just saying, Orients, is it because moving out to the east, the Orient, does it have something to do with the three wise men coming from the east?
No.
Okay. Okay.
But you got right in terms of Orient and East. You got that
Okay,
correct,
okay, okay.
but not the wise men. What also comes
Well,
from the East?
the sun.
I yes,
The
exactly.
sun comes from the east. I was
Exactly.
complicating things unnecessarily,
Right.
Monsignor.
And O day spring, come and cheer us. Our
Okay.
spirits by thine advent here disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight.
Okay.
So it is exactly Orient because from the east comes the rising of the sun.
Exactly,
So,
exactly.
all right, so we're getting there. We're
We're
getting
getting
there
there. Yeah, we are.
a little
This is
bit.
fun. This is cool.
So how many Christmas presents you got to buy this year?
I've got to get, oh, let me think. I've got to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. Nine, like nine or 10.
All right, by 10, because in case you forgot somebody, you have an extra one
Exactly.
in your
Exactly.
pocket.
That's what I
Okay.
usually do. And like I walk around, if I see something that looks like something someone would like, I usually wind up picking it up. So that's what I'm going
Yeah.
to do between now and then. Yeah.
So my family, we kind of made a big change 2 years ago. And the big change we made 2 years ago was that we only bought like one present.
Okay.
And then we kind of did one of those things like Secret Santa
Oh, nice.
or
Okay.
something like that.
Like a
But
Kris Kringle. Okay.
yeah, but not for the kids. The kids got presents. You
That
know,
yeah,
if
that
I
I
think
mean that's
if you were under 10 or under 12, I forget what it was. Certainly I don't qualify for that. So so that's a little bit nicer in or not nicer, but it's kind of interesting. But I will tell you, I bought my present already for
Oh.
whatever it is, the Secret Santa or whatever they're calling it. So
Okay.
I bought it already,
Oh, good.
and
You can wrap
so
it then early if you were so
oh God,
inclined.
Tom, I am the
I
worst
hate
wrapper
wrapping too,
in the
Monsieur.
whole world. I'm
I hate it.
awful at it.
I
I'm
hate it.
awful at it. So anyway, so we'll keep doing I'll come Emmanuel, and
Great.
in one of the next shows, we will talk about why it's such an appropriate hymn and what the little bit of the I forget what it's called. Is it mnemonic? I forget what it's called in terms of, you know, when letters mean something. I forget what that's called. But anyway, so Tom, thank you for rounding up the guests that we did this week. And to all of our listeners, please continue the Advent season, reflecting on the coming of Jesus. Fill your lives with reflecting on hope. And this is that season of hope. And there is a lot in our world to be discouraged by, but there is also a lot to hope in, and the coming of Jesus is probably the fundamental thing that we hope for. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. And our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. We'll be back in another week. So thank you for being with us. The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
You're listening to the Catholic Channel,
SiriusXM 129.